Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We heard Paul's letter to the people that made up the church in Corinth. And that was a church that was divided. Shall I say they were arguing among themselves? Conflict in the church. Who ever heard of that before? Anybody here ever heard of conflict in the church before? Yeah, because it is an organization, it is a body that is made up of humans. And when we take our eye off of God, where do we focus?
Ourselves.
On ourselves, yeah. So here they are, they're arguing among themselves. And what are they arguing about? They're not arguing over which one of them is better. No, they're smarter than that. They're arguing over which one of the gifts that are given by the Spirit is the most important. So that's a little sneaky way of saying, well, if this gift is deemed best and I'm given this gift, well, then I guess I'm the most important. Yeah, and so that's what they're arguing over. Such a silly thing to argue over, right? It's like arguing over the color of the carpet in the church, right? Things like that, that we know as humans, we absolutely do those things. So what they're looking for, in a sneaky way, is a ranking of importance. A ranking. Because in our world, rankings are important, aren't they? There are top 10 lists everywhere you turn. Fortune 500 companies, best companies to work for, right? I mean, over and over, best professions, where can you make the most money, et cetera, et cetera. We are in a very linear world, whether or not, you know, think about it. It's all about who ranks first, second, third, fourth, et cetera. And I hate to say this, but when I was in corporate America, one of the things that we had to do every year was force rank people into slots. Has anybody ever had to do that before? Yeah, because I worked for a company that after a while said 10% has to get cut. And so if you have 10 people, you've got to rank them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And the bottom person is the one that gets cut. Very, very difficult thing to do when you start ranking people like that. And we know about rankings, don't we? We know about line up in alphabetical order. Okay, that one's pretty simple. There's no comparison. You just go by what your last name is. How about this one? Line up based on your height, right? Smallest in front because the teacher wants to be able to see everybody. Lines are important for moving people, right? You're moving children. I mean, there is a reason for lines. But in God's world, rankings don't matter. Or I shouldn't say that. In God's world, the least is the one who becomes first. And the first is the one who will become last based on this world. Paul says to the Corinthians, remember, they're fighting over these spiritual gifts, but they're really fighting over which one of them is the better. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. My goodness, what a concept. So we can help each other. Not so that some of you or us are more important, right? So we're focusing on the self. But the gift is given by the Spirit so that we focus and use our gifts outward for the other. The man who understood this was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. You know, it wasn't until he was in college that he discovered that, or he heard God's call for him to be a pastor. It's not what he was planning on doing originally, even though his father was a pastor. And it was very interesting. You know, he was born in 1929, and his father's name at that time was Michael King. So, of course, what do? We name our children after us. So he became Michael King Jr. when he was born in 1929. It was Michael King Sr., Michael King Jr. Then in 1934, and his father was a pastor, and in 1934, his father attends a conference, an alliance conference in Germany, okay? And I think it was Berlin, Germany. And his father learns more deeply about the reformer Martin Luther, and really comes to understand who Martin Luther is, Martin Luther's view on God, about grace, and he comes back and he gives himself a new name to honor Martin Luther. He changes his name from Michael King Sr. to Martin Luther King Sr. And he does the same exact thing with his son. Michael King Jr. becomes Martin Luther King Jr. And that's how Martin had a change. You know, it's funny. When God calls your name, God changes, gives you a new name, a new identity. And how interesting that that literally happened with Martin Luther King Jr. So Martin, very, very, very smart man, Jr., goes to Morehead College, and I think it's about his sophomore year. The war was happening at that time. He was too young to go to war. School was not really happening, and so Morehead College had said something to the effect, if you can pass this test, you can come in. And he passes the test at 15, and he goes to school. 15 years old, he's going to college. It was in about his sophomore or junior year that he heard God's call for him to become a pastor. Now, if anybody here by any chance, there any relatives in your family a pastor? Usually pastors' kids, they call them PKs, do they not run and say, I'm not going this way? A lot of times that will happen. I'm not going this path. And then God might have a different call for them. And so God calls Martin Luther King Jr. and he goes to Crozier Theological Seminary in Pennsylvania, and he graduates there, begins as a pastor at a very young age, and then continues in his studies. He had a degree, undergraduate degree at Morehead in sociology, and then his studies at Crozier gave him a divinity degree, and then he went on to University of Boston, where he earned a PhD in systematic theology. Very, very brilliant man. Gifted, you might say. Gifted. As a matter of fact, when we, or if you take any type of a speech class, one of the videos that you are going to see and watch is the I Have a Dream speech. He was such a gifted orator. He was he could paint, he saw the vision, but then he could paint it with his words. He could move you to a feeling. And not only could he move you, he was a truth teller. He spoke the truth without slamming anyone, without verbally abusing anybody. He spoke it through the eloquence of his words. Now, if Martin Luther King Jr. was given this gift and went off and used his gift by himself, there would have been no probably organized movement, shall we say. You see, what Martin Luther King Jr. did was he found others who were gifted by the Spirit in different ways. And he began to use them, and they became the body of Christ. And I want to think of it as a circle, no ending, no beginning. We may want to think of it as a human body, but it's where all matter, all have a special talent, and when used together, something happens. And so there were organizers that came together, people who were able to motivate or help direct, you know, the behind-the-scenes person, right? The gift that you don't, you know, like, how did that get done? Well, somebody who was gifted knew how to do that. There were people who would set up and make arrangements. There were people that were saying to Martin, this is where I'm hearing God speak. through you. There were all different types of people that he surrounded him with. There were artists, there were musicians. He probably had a faith counselor that helped him stay grounded, because we can certainly see what happens when we think a gift is all about us and not about the one who has given it to us. So all together, they became the body of Christ. But they didn't become the body of Christ for themselves. They became the body of Christ for the other. You and I, together, we each have gifts and talents. And together we are the body of Christ. Your gift is not my gift. It's unique, something that's uniquely bestowed upon you by the Holy Spirit. It's different. We might say it's diverse. We must love and honor the diversity of the gifts that each and every single one of us has. You know, some of these gifts are very visual. We can see them. But some of these gifts are the behind-the-scenes organization type of gifts. But all are called to come together. All of us are called to come together for the sake of the other. We are called to serve. Over the coming months, if you remember last week, I talked about how some folks from our visioning team are going to be going out and conducting what we're calling one-to-one conversations to find out where your passion is. What is your vision? Where is your giftedness? You know, you might not even realize what your giftedness is. I didn't know mine until I was in my 40s. I thought it was something else. And then in my 40s, it started to be pointed out to me. This is your gift. This is your gift. This is where I see God working in you. How interesting that I couldn't see it for myself. And of course, when I finally did see it, everyone said, "That's what we've been telling you." Yeah. And so it's really funny that someone else is probably going to be the one who's going to say, "Oh my gosh, here's your gift. Do you not see it?" And sometimes we're going to say, "No." And other times we're going to say, "Oh my gosh, how come I didn't see it until now?" So we're going to learn about what our specific gifts are. And our focus when we do this is going to be on our diversity and our unity. Doesn't that just feel like it's two separate sides, like a both and? But it's really not, because in unity, I'm talking about wholeness in the body of Christ, not uniformity. A big, big difference, real big difference. Unity, not uniformity. You see, Paul understands that the diversity of the gifts make the body of Christ. Martin Luther King Jr., he understood that the diversity of the gifts, when brought together, form the body of Christ. We understand this too. And we're going to understand and discover the diversity of our gifts together, and how, as the body of Christ, we are to use these gifts together to be a living faith, not for ourselves, but for the other, where we go out into the community and into the world, proclaiming in our uniqueness and our gifts, not just through our words, but more importantly through our actions, that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that you are given forgiveness of sin, you are saved from death and from the devil, not from anything that you have done, but all through what Christ has done for you. And together, we'll move forward, diverse in our gifts, yet united in the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.